Just because I wander around the places we would go, hoping that I'd run into you one last time. Just because I never took your picture off my phone, doesn't mean that you're still on my mind. Just because I accidentally slip and say your name when I hear a song, it makes me insecure. Just because I know I'll never ever feel the same, doesn't mean I love you anymore. Am I lying to myself again when I say you're not the best I've ever had? Am I lying to myself again when I say that I'm not missing you so bad? Just because I'm on my knees and swearing I would change, and I'd do anything to hear you say I'm yours. Just because I know I'll never ever feel the same, doesn't mean I love you you so bad. Just because I'm on my knees and swearing I will change and do anything to hear you say I'm yours. Just because I know I'll never ever feel the same, doesn't mean I love you anymore. Doesn't mean I love you. Doesn't mean I love you anymore.
Step one, you say we need to talk. He walks, you say sit down, it's just talk. He smiles politely back at you. You stare politely right on through. Some sort of window to the right. As he goes left and you stay right. Between the lines, fear and blame. You begin to wonder why you came. Where did I go wrong? Past his defense without granting innocence. Lay down a list of what is wrong, things you told him all along. Pray to God he hears you, and pray to God he hears you. Yours. will admit to everything. Or he'll say he's just not the same, and you'll begin to wonder why you came. Where did I go wrong? I lost a friend somewhere along in the bitterness, and I put out stayed up with you all night, and I know how to save a life. Where did I go wrong? I lost a friend somewhere along in the bitterness, and I put out stayed up with you all night.
Here's to the ones that we got. Cheers to the wish you were here, but you're not. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories of everything we've been through. Toast to the ones in today. Toast to the ones that we lost on the way. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories, and the memories bring back your. There's a time that I remember when I did not know no pain, when I believed in forever and everything would stay the same. Now my heart feels like December when somebody say your name. Cause I can't reach out to call you, but I know I will one day, hey. Everybody hurts sometimes, everybody hurts someday, hey, hey. But everything gon' be alright. Raise a glass and say, hey. Here's to the ones that we got. Cheers to the wish you were here, but you're not. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories of everything we've been through. Toast to the ones here today. Toast to the ones that we lost on the way. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories, and the memories bring back your. There's a time that I remember when I never felt so lost, and I felt all of the hatred was too powerful to stop. Oh, yeah. Now my heart feels like an ember, and it's lighting up the dark. I'll carry these torches for ya, and you know I'll never drop. Yeah. Everybody hurts sometimes, everybody hurts someday, yeah, yeah. But everything gon' be alright. Raise a glass and say, hey. Here's to the ones that we got. Oh, cheers to the wish you were here, but you're not. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories of everything we've been through. Toast to the ones here today. Toast to the ones that we lost on the way. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories, and the memories bring back your. Memories bring back your.
Oops, you need to unmute yourself.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, no, that's fine. Okay. This is the technical talk. I just wanted to make sure that you had everything you needed and that you're comfortable. And I'll go ahead and introduce you in the beginning, and then you can just share your screen and take it away.
All right. And also, I'm not sure if my assistant had mentioned that I have to drop up at 10:30 Eastern time or 9:30 Central time.
Okay. Yep. So yeah, you have a half hour and, we're looking forward to it. So, so I'll make sure that to make the introduction short so that you can get right into what you need to talk about. And then, so I guess we won't do questions for you because I think you probably will take up the 30 minutes, right?
No, I think we will have about 5 minutes for Q&A based on how I've been doing this. I'm doing a lot of Zoom calls almost every day, like two or three.
Okay, I'm sure. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. I know it was hard to get your time. Okay, so yeah, so right at 10 o'clock, we're going to go ahead and get this started. And like I said, I'll try to keep the introduction real short and the housekeeping items real short, and then we'll just get into it.
Okay, great. So Fox Valley, the Chicago suburbs, how is your geography in terms of, say, the Main Street, or there's a competition with Main Street, or how does that work?
Main Street, hey, Dr. Yun, this is Chris Studebaker. So Main Street is directly to our east. So they're DuPage County, so they're right outside of Cook County, and then we have more than one county, but we're King County just to their west. So as the crow flies, we're about 35 miles west of downtown and just outside of their jurisdiction. So they have 18,000 members. We have 1,800.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Great to know.
Okay. So I guess we'll just go ahead and mute ourselves. And like I said, right at 9 o'clock, I'll just kick things off. And Lawrence, obviously you're first up because you're the first that has to leave. And so we'll just go from there. Hi, Gideon. Hi, John. All right. Are you guys you guys have everything you need to? I'll do the same thing with you guys. I'll just, as soon as Lawrence is done, we'll take a couple questions and then we'll head right into Gideon and then we'll head into John.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Are you doing introductions as they come, or are you doing all the introductions up front?
Well, I'm kind of doing both because I was just going to kind of introduce people so that they know why people are on their screen, because you guys will be the only ones, the people that are here right now are the only ones that are going to be able to be seen by everyone. So I was going to introduce everybody real quick in the beginning and then do a little quick little bio information right before you get on to talk. So hopefully that won't take too long. I'll talk fast. I usually do. Okay. All right. Okay. So then we'll just, I think we'll wait. I think we've got a couple more minutes, about five more minutes. So right at nine, I'll kick things off.
Cue the music.
All right. Thanks, everybody. This will be great.
Thanks, Lisa. Thanks, Chris.
Stay for a while now. Just take your time wherever you go. The rain is falling on my window pane, but we are hiding in a safer place. Undercover, staying dry and warm. You give me feelings that I adore. They start in my toes, make me crinkle my nose. Wherever it goes, I always know that you make me smile. Please stay for a while now. Just take your time wherever you go. Starts in my toes, makes me crinkle my nose. Wherever it goes, I always know that you make me smile. Please stay for a while now. Just take your time wherever you go. Starts in my soul and I lose all control. When you kiss my nose, the feeling shows. Cause you make me smile, baby. Just take your time now, holding me tight. a smile, even just for a while.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this morning for our webinar, The Current Real Estate Market, an Economic and Advocacy Update. I'm Lisa Ayers, the Director of Communications and Social Media for the Realtor Association of the Fox Valley. And from RAFB, I also have Missy Schneeberger, our Director of Events and Education, and Chris Studebaker, our CEO. So first, while we wait for everybody to kind of get on, let me introduce our guests. We have Dr. Lawrence Yoon, Chief Economist and Senior Vice President of Research at the National Association of Realtors. Thank you, Dr. Yoon, for being with us. We have Gideon Bluestein, the Director of Member Outreach for Illinois Realtors, and John Schultes, RAFE's new Government Affairs Director. Just a few housekeeping items. As you know, we're all muted to avoid any background noise, but that doesn't mean you can't interact. If you have questions, type them into the chat box, and we will have time after each speaker to address questions. If we don't get to your question, no worries, because during the program, we will look at the chat box log and follow up with you afterwards. Well, we have a packed schedule, so I think we should get going, and we all have other Zooms to probably get on, so let's get going with our agenda. Our first speaker oversees and is responsible for a wide range of research activity for the National Association of Realtors, including NAR's existing home sales statistics, affordability index, and home buyers and sellers profile report. He provides commentary on real estate market trends for its 1.4 million realtors. He appears on financial news outlets, is a frequent speaker at real estate conferences throughout the United States, and has even testified before Congress. Dr. Lawrence Yoon has also appeared as a guest on C-SPAN's Washington Journal. Please welcome Dr. Lawrence Yoon.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Lisa and Chris, for the invitation. It's been a quite a tough market challenges over the past couple of months, Now, at the end of May, things are beginning to look much better because as the governors across the countries are beginning to steadily reopen the economy, and hopefully safely, so we don't have a second outbreak of the virus and second economic lockdown. But overall, as the economies are reopening, we are beginning to see the listings popping out. And those listings, generally speaking, are being grabbed by the buyers. The luxury market is very soft, so it's taking very long to find buyers on the luxury end. But for mid-price and below, there appears to be quite a strong demand. We are hearing also some bidding war for properly priced homes that's coming onto the market. So even in this tough environment of high unemployment situation, the people with secure employment, and I would say that is roughly 70% of the workforce, 70% of the workforce are staring at a record low mortgage rates, and they want to take advantage of this. Now, I, as an economist, speak better with a PowerPoint, so let me try to upload the PowerPoint here to the screen for you. And let me get the technology right. All right, here we are. So the broadest measure of the economy is GDP, and you will hear from President Trump talking about GDP. The Democratic politicians also mentioning GDP because that is the broadest measurement of the economy, and in the first quarter, it shrank by 5%. That is quite a large decline by any historical standards. The second quarter data is not in, but second quarter will reflect the total shutdown in the month of April and slow recovery from the month of May. So second quarter number will be even awful, absolutely awful compared to the first quarter. But there are some interesting data points from the first quarter, and also I can provide some little hint on the second quarter and maybe later in the year. So the economy shrank because consumers and businesses cut back on spending. And from mid-March is when the virus impact truly went into the economy. So it held back. The residential investment, which comprised housing starts, meaning home building activity, home sales, and all the mortgage lending activity, along with remodeling spending, grew solidly 18% in the first quarter. Just to show you how strong the housing sector had been prior to the pandemic. So even as the second half of the March essentially shut down, it shows how strong the housing sector had been prior to the pandemic. The economy shrank, but personal income actually grew by 2%. And in fact, the April figures are not reflected here, and it just came out this morning. And when I look at the April numbers on personal income, it just soared. And something does not appear to make sense. How is it possible that personal income rises so strongly when people are losing jobs? And the answer is government support for all this income replacement. So the stimulus check combined with the unemployment insurance, enhanced unemployment insurance aspects, all is providing a solid support for income. And people do not spend with this income. First, there's no place to spend. You cannot go to a restaurant. The baseball games are canceled. So there's no place to spend. So people's savings rates are tremendously rising. And hence, one has to ask the question, as the economy reopens, phase one, phase two, phase three, as more sectors of the economy steadily reopen, there's a tremendous amount of people's income that can be going into the economy. I know people who are unemployed, this is a tough time, but they are getting income support during this down period. So, and also for the job market, you know, again, a very tough situation. The principal areas where jobs are being lost is in the leisure and hospitality. So anything related to the hotel industry, entertainment, you know, Disney World is shut down. I think they are planning on reopening in mid-July with some social distancing measures. But in the meantime, absolutely shut down in the leisure and hospitality with over 7 million job losses in a single month of April. Education and health is an interesting part, the second line, 2.5 million job losses. So daycare center closures and some private schools closing, but also nurses lost jobs, medical doctors lost jobs. And you said that doesn't make sense. We are in COVID-19. We saw the images of needing ventilators, hospital bed. So how is it that the healthcare profession lost jobs in April? And the answer is, well, dental offices shut down, so they have to lay off all the administrative staff along with the dental assistants. If you needed a hip surgery, well, that has to be postponed and rescheduled because all the hospitals were reserving a labor force along with hospital bed for COVID-19 related issues. So therefore, if you think that in a normal circumstances, there will be need for knee replacement, hip surgery, and then return of the dental care, then you would say that essentially all those jobs that were lost in the healthcare industry will be positive once the economy reopens. And many other sectors, construction, we need more home construction, especially at the mid-price point, so the construction jobs will be coming in. Maybe the retail trade is somewhat difficult to come back unless the vaccine is discovered, but a good portion of all this lost job should steadily recover in the second half of the year. Not fully, but a good portion of this job losses should steadily return in the second half of the year as the economy reopens. So when we look at the state of Illinois, this is what it looks like in terms of the number of people filing for unemployment insurance. So before the pandemic, roughly about 10,000 people each week filed for unemployment insurance for the very first time. In other words, they got laid off or fired, and therefore they're filing for unemployment insurance, about 10,000 each week. Then the pandemic hit in mid-March, so you see soaring number of unemployment insurance cases, and then the numbers are beginning to decline. But these are people who are filing for the very first time. So if you file in March, you would not be counted in May or April. This is people who are filing for the very first time. If you use the parallel with the COVID cases, this is the number of people who are tested positive for the COVID cases. And way to contain is you have to flatten the curve. So at least this is showing we are flattening the curve on the unemployment insurance part. And the total number of people still receiving unemployment check in the state of Illinois looks like this. So this would be a cumulative addition of all the new cases. So it is showing that it is rising and rising and rising. But if you look at the last 3 weeks, it appears to be flattening out. In the current environment, there are job creation underneath all these pictures. FedEx is hiring, Amazon is hiring. There's a lot of job hiring need for the tech support work. So there are job hiring, but the job losses in Illinois is still greater than job hiring, and hence total number of unemployment insurance is rising. Here's an interesting data comparison with the national average versus the Illinois. So this is the total cases of people receiving unemployment check nationwide. And if you see the latest week nationwide, it actually declined by almost 4 million, which means that even though people are filing for unemployment insurance, the fact that people receiving the unemployment check actually declined by 4 million is implying that there are job creation, again, FedEx and in other areas, warehousing sectors. But Illinois somehow is not declining like the rest of the country, which means that job creation in the state of Illinois is a little sluggish. We knew that was the case even pre-pandemic. So job creation in Illinois was occurring, but less strongly compared to rest of the country. And that's something for the state to consider. You know, he said some policies within the state of Illinois that is hindering business creation. You know, Chicago, you see the downtown streets of Chicago, all those you know, beautiful buildings, like Wrigley buildings. And that was at the turn of the century back in 1900, when people wanted to make money. They said, well, if you want to make money, you go to Chicago. That was the entrepreneurial spirit back in 1900. But now, you know, 100 years later, somehow the job creation in the state of Illinois appears to be a little sluggish compared to the rest of the country. This is the chart on the unemployment insurance paycheck. And the next speakers will talk about it in a little more detail. but Illinois, you see $12. What does that mean? So what it means is that on average, person who got laid off, say a hotel staff who got laid off, is now receiving an unemployment check. The unemployment check is on average $12 higher than the wages they are working at a hotel. So this is showing that there is essentially full income replacement of those people who lost job in the state of Illinois. If you look at North Wisconsin, on average, people are down $260 per week for those people who are receiving unemployment check. So there is a state-by-state variation, but in Illinois, in general, they are getting full income replacement. Someone who was working as an investment banker laid off in Chicago, I'm sure their income situation is much worse now than before. But for, say, people at the lower wage category, the unemployment insurance check may actually be higher than what they were receiving. But it ends in July, so you know, if they are recalled for work, I mean, there's a strong incentive to assure that they have that job later in the year, because as currently stand, without any new congressional legislation, this enhanced unemployment check would be ending at end of July. In the meantime, the Federal Reserve, the monetary policy is all in, doing everything possible to help the liquidity for the economy. Fed funds rate, which the chart shows is essentially zero, means that banks can borrow from each other at zero interest rates. There is something called quantitative easing, buying corporate debts, government debt, and also mortgage-backed securities. What is important for realtors is the following chart, that mortgage rates have fallen to historically low points. And I believe, according to Freddie Mac's survey this week, it hit the lowest ever, 3.2% mortgage rate, all-time low in their data tracking. The orange line that you see is the 10-year treasury. And quick glance at this two chart shows that both lines pretty much move in sync. So, you know, it moves very in a synchronized fashion. But look at the last data point. 10-year treasury is under 1%, while the mortgage rate, historically low, 3.2%. And you say, well, you know, those are pretty good rates. But based on the normal gap, I would say the mortgage rate should be under 3%, maybe even 2.7%. So it is possible that in a month or two, mortgage rate may actually go down under 3%, maybe just in time as the economy fully reopens the economy. But there is a possibility, not a guarantee, but possibility. But I will also say that the jumbo market currently is not working. It requires extremely high down payment. You know, even 40% down payment is required, pristine credit scores. So the upper end market is a little difficult to obtain mortgages in the current environment. But those mortgages that can be sold to Fannie and Freddie is working very well. And I also want to say that the reason why Fannie and Freddie is very playing an important role is that's part of NAR advocacy position. And I want to thank all the local association presidents, because at their local association, state association, national association, our effort in trying to push for policies like the importance of Fannie and Freddie. So President Paul Campa at the Fox Valley, thank you for all your leadership in integrating your work with Illinois Association as well as NAR, because we say Fannie and Freddie is important and they are playing an important role. Without Fannie and Freddie, mortgage rate may be something close to, say, 4%. So right now, historically low because mortgages can be sold to Fannie and Freddie. Now, moving on, the inventory situation was very low before the pandemic on the mid-price and below. I know on the Chicago suburbs, very upper-end market is one of the harder-hit markets in the country. You had a $3 million home in Chicago. You want to sell it, suddenly realize you cannot attract buyers unless you reduce that home from $3 million to $2.5 million. And so there's a lot of price reduction occurring. And if you look at the data, especially among newly retirees who happens to be wealthy in the Chicago suburbs, they're moving out. They're going to Wisconsin. They're going to Texas, Arizona, Florida. So, you know, how do you retain some of the wealthy retirees to stay in Illinois? But because they are leaving the state, which is the reason why the luxury home market is one exception to this low inventory. There's plentiful inventory on the luxury market, but for the mid price and below, what realtors have indicated is shortage of inventory before the pandemic. And then you see the last data point. During the pandemic, we have even fewer listings. So those 70% of the workers with secure employment, they are looking at record low mortgage rates, but also lack of choices. They want to see more choices before striking the market. And as the economy reopens, hopefully more listings do pop out. One other question that I get frequently from the reporters is that given the high unemployment rate situation, that maybe we should anticipate 30% reduction in home prices, just as happened 10 years ago during the foreclosure crisis. And this chart shows that we are fundamentally different. So if you look at 2006, 2007 period, we had an oversupply everywhere, low price, mid price, as the subprime mortgages blew up, you know, people overstretched their budget. And once the interest rates reset to higher rates, they cannot pay mortgages, simply blew up. And then you had a job losses, and the home builders were producing way, way too much oversupply. So, but today we have the opposite. We don't have subprime lending, thankfully. So everybody met the income debt ratio before obtaining mortgages. And second, builders are not overproducing. In fact, they have been underproducing in relation to the population growth. And now during the pandemic, even fewer listings. So the prospect of a 30% price decline is not there, fundamentally different. And prices in the state of Illinois, along with the Chicagoland area, is showing that prices are still rising about 5% from 1 year ago. At least the median prices are higher compared to 1 year ago. The evidence of the pandemic impact is that contract signings collapsed. I think that, you know, that all the way through mid-April, it was more related to people's simple uncertainty. You know, they did not want to catch coronavirus, so they stayed in shelter. Why go outside when they have to stay in shelter? Soon later, people are realizing that they have to go to grocery store. You know, they have to eat. So they go to grocery store with social distancing measure, mask on, gloves, sanitizers. And if you think about visiting grocery store versus trying to buy a home with social distancing, you would say buying a home is much safer than going to grocery store with so many other 100 people. So home transaction is much safer. And I think people are recognizing this. And hence, if there are more listings, I think there will be more shopping activity. I would say the April pending contract is the absolute low point. There will be improvement in May. Some of the data points that I looked at in May is already showing good improvement. And then it should be better even in later months. Now, closing is always a month or two behind pendings. So the low point for closing could be in the month of May, and then steady improvement from this point. One encouraging sign about the housing market prospect for a V-shaped recovery rather than a U-shape. V-shape is you go down hard, but you come back up hard strongly. U-shape is you go down and then you stay down for many months before recovering. So the evidence of potential prospect for a V-shaped recovery is in the people filing for mortgages to buy a home. It was running about 10% higher compared to 1 year ago. And you can see it in the data in the Chicagoland that, that home sales were very solid before the pandemic. Then during the pandemic, it collapsed. It was down 35% in terms of mortgage applications. But with each passing weeks, less severe of a decline. And this week, it actually rose above 1 year ago. So May 22nd, 2020, the week of May 22nd, compared to comparable week, one year before, and it is actually 10% higher. This is a very early phase. As you know, people are filing for mortgages, then they have to search for a home, make sure the home inspection goes right, appraisals, and then pending contracts, closing. So there are many steps before actually completing the deal, but the very early phase of home buying process is showing potential V-shaped recovery into the marketplace. Now, home building activity actually declined during the pandemic. So you see that orange line is the historical average. We overproduce the early part of this chart during the subprime lending days, then it collapsed. Then we've been under the normal for 10 straight years, which is the reason why we had that inventory shortage. That inventory shortage cannot be fixed overnight or in a year. So the fact that building activity actually declined during the pandemic is implying that housing shortage for the mid-price and below will be with us in the later part of this year and probably in 2021 as well. So as you are thinking about the buyers, say to the buyers, don't expect some major discount in prices. And also for the home sellers, you know, they always need to realistically sell their sell it to the market, but it's implying that there is no oversupply. But worth repeating, on the upper end markets, $1 million and over, there may need to be some price reduction. Incomes are high, people are not spending, savings rates are extremely high. And in fact, all the banks are saying their deposits are rising and rising and rising. So I guess people are receiving unemployment check and just depositing it straight into the bank and no place to spend. But where is the government getting the money? They're running a huge federal budget deficit, all-time high by more than double. So all-time high. Even in 2021, they could be running quite a high federal budget deficit. Who is buying this debt? Is it the Chinese government, German mutual fund, Chicago teachers retirement fund? Who is buying this debt? And currently, the principal buyers of the debt is the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve in Washington, who control monetary policy. And where are they getting the money to buy this government debt? They are printing money. So in other words, Treasury is handing out unemployment checks. Where is the Treasury getting the money? With printed money from the Federal Reserve. So if there is so much printing of the money to provide income support, first it's necessary because we know that workers were working hard and they suddenly lost jobs. So it's unfair for those hardworking Americans to suffer income loss during the government imposed lockdown. So there is an income support. But what does this mean about the economy going into the future? Economic textbook would say you print money, you have inflation. And University of Chicago famous economist Milton Friedman always say, inflation is always a monetary phenomenon. You print money, we have inflation. But America is fortunate to have something called the US dollar. Because of the US dollar, we can print money and not have inflation right away. So no inflation this year, no inflation next year, or even a year after that. $20 bill, you take the $20 bill, go to Mexico, go to Vietnam, or even go to Italy and say, I want a haircut and here's $20, and they will give you a haircut. US dollar is accepted around the world, but not Mexican pesos. Or in Venezuela, they print money, they have high inflation right away. But America does not have to have high inflation right away. But if we print money this year and next year, surely we may have higher inflation 5, 6, 7 years down the road. People who have been in the business for a long time remember the 1970s. 1970s, 10% inflation. You go to grocery store, everything expensive. Price of clothes rising, rents rising. So it's possible that 5, 6, 7 years from now, we may have a little higher than normal inflation. I don't think 1970s style, but maybe 5, 6% inflation is possible in out years. And if that's the case, what is a good hedge against inflation? Well, people want to buy gold. They think gold is a very good hedge against inflation. But real estate has also provided it as being very good hedge against inflation. There's an inflation, real estate value rise along with inflation. So if that is the case, the most opportune time to buy a home could be now or maybe next year. First, people who don't have jobs should not be buying a home. Again, people who have the secure job and willing to stay within budget, they're locking in those low rates, which means that even as prices of everything is rising 5-6 years from now, mortgage payment is not rising because it's fixed at absolutely low mortgage rates. Real estate prices are rising. So their real estate wealth are building from rising real estate values. So it may be a golden opportunity if there is inflation 5-7 years from now, and given so much of the printing of the money, that may be a could be a distinct possibility. I'm actually calling for about 5% inflation 5 years from now. So if that's the case, right now may be the most opportune moment, something that you may want to communicate with your potential clients about these prospects. Now, going into the outlook is that the 2018-2019 nationwide, it was a respectable year. I think the state of Illinois, along with Chicagoland statistics, show a very similar pattern, that it was a respectable home sales, but no measurable increase or decrease. It was sort of moving sideways in terms of sales. In the first quarter, things were better, but the second quarter would be bad. Third quarter, still not good, but less negative. In the fourth quarter, still down slightly from 1 year ago. I hope that mortgage application numbers actually plays out perfectly, but some mortgage application will not be approved, and that's why I have these figures in this part. But as you wait into 2021, economy should be running much better by then. Job creation enhanced the unit sales, home sales, the very last line in 2021 should be up 13-18%, more than compensating for any home sales loss in 2020. So hang in tough during this tough pandemic period. Second half should be a little better, but 2021, everything lights up positively. So best wishes to you with this prospect. Of course, you know, my forecast is not perfect, but this is the how I see the market developing. And let me stop sharing and happy to take just a couple of questions.
Okay, thank you so much. We do have one question, and it was asking about the if you could explain the jumbo loan challenges one more time.
So the jumbo market is, so if you're a mortgage lender, so you are providing a capital to home buyers. If they originate the mortgage, they can sell it to Fannie and Freddie, they are replenished with cash because they sell it, they get the money, and now they can make more loans. So loans that can be sold to Fannie and Freddie, there's plenty of liquidity. On the jumbo market, it's partly a consequence of the mortgage forbearance. So people who are suffering, you know, job losses, sort of panicking, they're seeking mortgage forbearance. Now they are getting income support, so not everyone who are seeking mortgage forbearance are missing payments. In fact, half of the people who have sought mortgage forbearance, they're still paying mortgages because they are saying, I have income, I'm gonna pay mortgage. But because of the people who are not paying mortgages, the money is not coming into the mortgage servicer. And now for loans that cannot be sold to Fannie and Freddie, they're facing cash crunch. And because of the cash crunch, they are saying any mortgages that cannot be sold to Fannie and Freddie, we should be extra careful. And jumbo mortgages are one of those where they cannot sell it to Fannie and Freddie, and is eating up their capital, especially with mortgage forbearance. And they're saying, well, let's not make so much of the jumbo loans.
Okay, do you have time for one more question?
One more question.
Okay, the last question is, if we have a second round of COVID-19 in the fall, do these numbers and forecasts remain the same?
Absolutely not. If we have a second wave of COVID, then you know, second lockdown, things will look really bad. It may require Congress approving another stimulus measure, another equally large size, which means more printing of the money. And at some point, you know, there could be some loss of confidence on the U.S. dollar. I mentioned about the special dollar status. You know, take the $20 bill anywhere across the world and get a haircut. But if America loses that dollar status, as to say that, well, maybe the dollar is not worth a dollar, then it can lead to a lot of trouble. So let's just hope for the best that reopening of the economy can be done safely. I think people are getting used to social distancing. And I mean, you know, I walk around the neighborhood every evening just to get some little exercise, but If people did not know of COVID, people will say we are highly antisocial. As soon as somebody's come, they're moving away from each other. But that's the new world, but people are adapting to it. So let's hope that social distancing measure can contain the virus. Thank you very much. And I have to leave. So thank you and have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate your time. Have a great day. Okay. So now we're down to us now. thank you so much, Lawrence. And next up, we have co-presenters. We have Gideon Bluestein, the Director of Member Outreach for Illinois Realtors, as well as John Schultes, our Government Affairs Director. And they will be talking about the latest updates from Illinois Realtors regarding the transition of our Illinois businesses to phase three, as well as any other updates that they may have. So I'm going to go ahead and mute myself. You guys go ahead and share your screen and take it away.
Thank you, Lisa. Thanks to everybody. We're excited to be here. I am just super psyched to be presenting on the same panel, billing as Dr. Lawrence Yoon. So if I seem a little shaky, that's why. But no, I'm very excited to be here and also excited to share some somewhat breaking news, some new information as we move into phase three statewide today. Also very happy to be joined by John Schultes, who is the new Government Affairs Director for Realtor Association of the Fox Valley. So great opportunity to meet him today for you, and he's going to give you just a little update on what's happening in your local markets. So I like to start by presenting. I know it wasn't that long ago that I presented to your organization, but I like to start by presenting with just sharing what is the Illinois Realtors mission. It's really simple, but really broad. So it's we protect private property rights and advance the real estate profession. And so what I talk about today is really encapsulated by this quote I have at the bottom from Jeff Baker, who's our deputy CEO. And it says, we will continue to publish materials relevant to the stay-at-home order. So when you think about things like pandemic unemployment assistance, legal FAQs about how to maintain best practices while doing showings, we're going to continue to publish that information. However, we are also going to begin pivoting toward the next phase of this crisis, the state and local legislative efforts to help get the state back in business. So I think that what I'm going to share with you today reflects that. I was trying to decide where to couch this. I want to put the big news early in my presentation so that I'm not keeping everybody waiting. But the big news to share today is that there's new guidance effective today, May 29th, for the Illinois Phase 3. So what is that new guidance? I can tell you it responds directly to the flood tidal wave, how many analogies can I use, of questions and urgings we were getting from members across the entire state about open houses, and then in particular, showings of tenant-occupied rental units, whether they're for sale or for rent. We were just getting inundated with those questions. So what that meant was that we were taking those questions, taking that feedback to IDFPR and to the state of Illinois and saying, hey, you know, as we go into phase three, we need to know how the new regulations for the state are going to impact our industry. So what I've got for you is that as of phase three, open houses are allowed with observable safety measures. So one note I want to make on this as well is that there's still a strong encouragement for virtual open houses. And really what this comes down to is you're going to need to know your client, right? So if your client is in a situation where the best situation for them might be that virtual open house, that's the way to go. Now, if your client feels strongly that, you know, based on their health, based on their comfort level, they want to go with a traditional in-person open house, then that's the way to go. But I do have a couple of bullet points up here about observable safety measures that I want to make sure and share. So consider having the owner or listing broker open doors, including closets, cabinets, turning on lights before the open house. And so what that means is basically try to limit the amount of surfaces that are going to get touched by people that are walking through. Make sense? Incorporate non-discriminatory appointment policies to limit attendees at the same time to no more than 10 total. So that's an important factor if you're doing an in-person open house. You don't want to have more than 10 total attendees in the house at one time. So what you can do is set up some sort of an appointment policy for that open house and make sure it's non-discriminatory. Restrict access after each showing to allow time for disinfecting areas of the home that previous attendees viewed. So if you've got a lot of people going through, you may want to restrict access and look at where are those touch points, where do people have a lot of viewing, and you may want to take the time to disinfect some of those areas. And then consider providing gloves and booties and requiring face masks, even if social distance is going to be maintained. So again, out of an abundance of caution, we are stressing, we want to make sure there's observable safety measures that are taken if an in-person open house is pursued. So then another really important one, I would say for the last 4 weeks, I've just been getting, and I know staff across Illinois Realtors, we've just been getting tons and tons of questions about showings of tenant-occupied units. And so I was very pleased to be able to say that showings of tenant-occupied units are allowed. Now, it's important, just as we've got, you know, our legal disclaimer language here, it depends on the terms of the lease and then any local, state, or federal requirement that may exist to give notice prior to showings. Safety measures should have to be observed. So PPE and other safety measures, similar to those that we talked about with the open houses and similar to those you're already doing with showings. And then before entering, make sure that you're obtaining express consent from the tenant. So other information, other member tools and benefits I want to share, transitioning into our COVID-19 page. So many of you have visited our illinoisrealtors.org/COVID-19 throughout the course of the stay-at-home order and the pandemic. You know that that's where you can get the latest news and updates, and then all of our legal FAQs are up there. And then also I want to stress that we've got realtor and consumer resources there. It's amazing. I talk about how the last 2 to 3 weeks we've been getting so many questions about what activities are allowed in phase three. Prior to that, it was just a mountain of questions about pandemic unemployment assistance. And then there's just been the steep drop off in terms of the questions that we're getting on that. So my hope is that that means that everybody who needed access to those support systems was able to obtain them. If you have questions about those, we do have our FAQs on illinoisrealtors.org/COVID-19. And as you probably know by now, on May 11th, IDES, the Department of Employment Security, opened up their new webpage and application portal for independent contractors. So if you need help with that, if you have questions, you can go to that webpage, or of course you can contact me and we will try to get you answers and assistance on those questions. If you know me, you know I'm always talking about our free subscription to Inman Select. So make sure that you take advantage of that. We have partnered with MRED to get all realtors a free subscription. This is about a $200 a year value. They've got great information, both economic and practical, with regard to opening back up of the economy. And you can access that free subscription, share it with your offices at illinoisrealtors.org/Inman. And then finally, I just want to mention, we have about 14 different consumer brochures on different topics. But one I want to make sure that you have access to and know about is the Protect Your Investment consumer brochure. So this is a free download. It's about a 3-page PDF, and it's got best practices for those property owners that may be in a distressed situation. So you can access those. I've got down at the bottom here, illinoisrealtors.org/member benefits. And that's where you can access all of our member benefits. There are many more than just these three that I highlighted. So I wouldn't be so crazy as to try to give a market or economic update following Dr. Lawrence Yoon, but I do want to make sure you know that Illinois Realtors does provide market and economic information. We have custom reports that you can pull by area, but then also we do our monthly housing at a glance, fast stats. And so I've got April's up there. They always come out just around the third week of the month. So make sure that you're tuned in on those, especially right now. This is a great time to stay tuned in, make sure you know what's going on as we phase into the reopening. So you can get access to those at illinoisrealtors.org by clicking on the market stats page. Two other resources I want to tell you about and make sure you know about. One is MRED's market snapshot. So they've been releasing these weekly. It used to be monthly, but then during coronavirus, they changed it to weekly. So it's the MRED weekly market snapshot. You can get that at mredllc.com if you just click on their COVID-19 tab. And it's excellent. It's about an 8-page presentation that just gives you a snapshot of exactly what's happening in the past week in the MLS. So great, great information that you can use. And then, of course, you know, we had the great presentation from Dr. Lawrence Yoon. My little insider tip where I like to follow him is on LinkedIn. He's very interactive. He posts regular updates. If you tag him in posts, sometimes he responds or likes them. So anyway, to get daily updates from him, I really encourage you follow Dr. Lawrence Yoon on LinkedIn. Legal and professionalism. So if you have not already checked it out, I want to stress, check out our binge-worthy web series, Game of Thrones, The Real Legal Update. This is a 6-part web series. Each of them are about 10 to 20 minutes long, and they break down the new Real Estate License Act into easy-to-understand chunks. And if you only get to watch one, or if you stress to your brokers in your offices that you only have to watch one, watch episode 4. All right. It's 17 minutes long. It deals with advertising law. So what are the changes in advertising law? And there are some Easter eggs in there in terms of new information that we know about what's going to be in the rules that are supposed to come out this summer. So make sure, definitely watch all of them. But if you can only watch one, episode 4 on advertising, you don't want to miss it. Check those out. You can access all this at illinoisrealtors.org/legal or click on the legal tab. All right, so I'm going to turn it over now to my colleague, John Schultes. I'm so excited for all of you to meet him when we are back to whatever the new normal is. I hope that we can venture out to your offices and meet you in person. But with that, I'm going to turn it over to John Schultes. He's got a stellar background working in government, politics, campaigns, and he is going to give you a legislative and advocacy update. And then I will come back and wrap it up with just a few updates on how you can stay involved. So, John?
First of all, Gideon, thank you for that introduction. I really appreciate it. I am very happy and excited to be here with all of you today. Following up, Dr. Yoon and Gideon is a pretty tall order, but we'll see what I can do. And I also look forward to meeting everyone, hopefully in your offices or individual Zoom calls. We'll see what happens. But so I guess I'll dive right into it here. So I think we all know that last week, it was the final week of the spring session for the General Assembly, and the Illinois Realtors did do some very serious work. Stopping some legislation that would have made some drastic, harmful changes to real estate and civil law during and after the end of the coronavirus situation. We had actually been urging the General Assembly to focus on and support the enactment of legislation that would quickly provide assistance to tenants, landlords, homeowners, and lenders that are all affected by COVID-19 and related hardships right now. We think that enacting that balance relief legislation would have provided direct monetary assistance through the IHDA. And such a measure was actually introduced, House Bill 5779, but it was held in the House Rules Committee. Two pieces of legislation that attempted to kind of go about that same process and provide some relief, we opposed, largely in part because they also contained, and I'm sorry, those pieces of legislation were House Bill 5574, an amendment to that bill, and a House amendment to Senate Bill 3066. And included in 5574, there were a few things that would have been objectionable and created some punitive landlord-tenant measures, including de facto rent control, cancellation of rental debt, 60 days notice required prior to an eviction, mandated payment plans for tenants, sealing of evictions, and other changes to make evictions an extremely arduous, time-consuming process. And in SB 3066, they had actually removed some of these, but there were still some fundamental flaws in the bill. So they also passed the budget, $42.8 billion. A large chunk of that is going to hopefully be coming from the CARES Act. Also, $5 billion from the Federal Reserve Municipality Liquidity Fund. But fortunately, the owner realtors are going to be working with the IDHA and the governor's office on the administration of dollars, including $296 million to affordable housing grants to the IDHA, and also an additional $100 million to the IDHA from Corona Urgent Remediation Emergency Fund for affordable housing grants in hotspots that have been disproportionately affected by the coronavirus. And these would be going towards emergency rental, mortgage, relief, and subordinate financing. I hope everyone is still awake after that. Gideon, if you could go to the next slide, that's your state update. Two positive things for it now. In Kane County, property tax payments have been delayed with zero late fees or interest if you make your first payment by July 1st. And in Kendall County, they've also delayed property tax payments, the first one not being due until August 1st with no late fees or interest if paid before August 1st or on August 1st. However, if it is late, the late fees will come back and the interest will also retroactively be added on. So that's all I have for today. I'm sure that everyone was electrified by it. But I really do want to thank Lisa, Dr. Yoon, Gideon, Chris, everyone watching, listening. I really look forward to meeting you, and I'm very excited to be here with the Illinois Realtors. Thank you all.
Thank you, John. So just to also do a little follow-up. So if you have not seen them before, I'm sure I saw some of the participants in the participant screen, so I know many of you already read this. But if you have not read it, make sure you check out the State Capitol Report. You can get that by going to IllinoisRealtors.org and clicking on Advocacy. The State Capitol Report is issued whenever the General Assembly is in session. It gives a breakdown of what are the bills that we were working on. I did get a lot of questions last week during the General Assembly about why there wasn't a call for action issued. I think what happened was people read about these different rent control bills, the rent holiday bill in the Chicago Tribune, where there was a little bit of coverage on it, and they thought, well, why aren't we doing a call for action on this? And I will tell you the reason for that is what John referenced, which was we were trying to actually work with stakeholders to craft some sort of rental relief package. And hopefully I'm not sharing too much like inside information here, but we were actually on track to have something that would have been very good for the industry, that would have helped renters, that would have been good for people who, if they're struggling with mortgage payments. But then an outside group that was opposed to, or that's very pro rent control, actually targeted a group of legislators with negative messages, kind of saying, oh, they're working with the industry lobbyists to try to, you know, do something bad for tenants. So anyway, the inside sort of scoop on that was we felt very confident that we were on track to be able to have some sort of negotiated piece of legislation. So some of the worst parts of it were taken off the table. But then unfortunately, the negotiated legislation was torpedoed by those negative ads from an outside group. And basically the talks fell apart. So the things that we were most concerned about weren't going to move forward. But that was a question I got, and I'm sure John got that as well, is why, you know, we got to stop this legislation. Why aren't we getting a call for action? So here's my pivot to staying involved. If you want those inside scoops, if you want that inside story, you've got to take just a little bit of time and step up and get involved. And, you know, when legislators reach out to us and they ask for our input on how to get the housing economy jump-started, how to make sure that the housing economy stays strong, they're not asking. I mean, yes, they are going directly to John, and they're going directly to me, but they want to hear about your experiences and what you're seeing out there in your local market. So I encourage all realtors, you've heard me before, I'm like a broken record, but you've got to vote, act, invest. Voting is a no-brainer, but if you want help making sure that folks in your office are registered or need to figure out how to register, let us know. Take action. So I've got two things I want to ask you to do today. The first is make sure you sign up for our calls for action via text message. And the way to do that is simply text to the number 30644. So pull up your phone and put into the two part 30644. The message, Realtors. Hit send, and then you'll get a message that you're enrolled, all right? The second thing I want to encourage all of you to do, and maybe even do it, you know, encourage all the brokers in your office to do it too, is participate in Capital Conference at Home. So as you know, every April, we send about 700 realtors from across the state to descend on Springfield, meet with their legislators, get a legislative update. And this year we had 738 RSVP'd a month out. So we were gonna be probably even north of 800. And then we had to cancel because of the stay at home order. Now we were very upset about that, but we quickly pivoted to doing Capital Conference at Home and our state legislative contacts. So these are your realtor colleagues out there that are specifically tasked with keeping in touch with their local legislator. They do an amazing job. They quickly rallied and we were able to put together Capital Conference at Home. So my argument is that it's actually better than regular Capital Conference because you get all the benefits of Capital Conference without a 3-hour bus ride to Springfield. And if anybody wants to challenge me and say that the bus ride is their favorite part, I would love to hear why. So make sure you take advantage of this. Just go to illinoisrealtors.org/capitalconference. Again, it's illinoisrealtors.org/capitalconference. It's about 10 to 15 minutes. You'll see a legislative update from Julie, and then you'll see interviews, and there's a cool little interactive map that shows based on where you are, who, you know, which legislator you've got the interview with. So check that out, illinoisrealtors.org/capitalconference. And if you know Gideon, you know he's going to talk about RPAC. So the Realtors Political Action Committee today, well, actually technically May 31st, this is the last major update I'll be giving people about the Hearts for Healthcare Challenge for RPAC. So during this time of coronavirus, we wanted to make RPAC go a little bit further. So for every $20 RPAC donation, your local association is going to be allocated a candy bar that when they have all of those allocated together, they're going to donate those out to local healthcare workers. So as a way to say thank you for all the work that those frontline healthcare workers are doing. So $20 candy bar gets allocated to the local, and then you'll also be entered into a $500 raffle that's going to be pulled May 31st. So get your 20 bucks in. You can do more than one. You'll get multiple entries into that raffle. And again, it's going to be pulled May 31st. So to get into the Realtors Political Action Committee Hearts for Healthcare Challenge, go to illinoisrealtors.org/heartsforhealthcare. And with that, I just want to encourage you, if you'd like an update for your office so we can shorten it, we can lengthen it, we can focus on specific topics that we covered. You can schedule online. Just go to calendly.com/member outreach and you'll see my calendar and you can schedule directly onto my calendar. I also want to highlight a couple of the offices who I didn't see if they were on this morning, but I do have a couple of offices here that I've been to in the recent past, both virtually and Carmack was in person, but that was before the stay at home order. So anyhow, my contact info is at the bottom. And if you would like to schedule with us, you can go to calendly.com/member outreach. With that, I will turn it back over to Lisa. I believe she is going to be moderating questions and filtering out any angry comments about me.
Thank you so much, Gideon and John. We really appreciate you giving us those updates. Yeah, lots going on now with the opening up of the state, and hopefully that will re-energize us and give us a little bit more to do real estate-wise. I'm just looking at the chat box, and I think that you have dazzled your audience because there are no questions. There's one that John is kind of going back and forth with, but it sounds like, I don't know, John, do you want to talk about that, or do you want to, it sounds like you are going to be reaching out to her personally. So yeah, there, like I said, what a great talk. If there are no questions at the end, you must have covered everything that people have. Oh, it looks like Chris has a question. Go ahead, Chris.
It's not so much a question as it is a comment. I just wanted to let everybody know too that we're embracing this new world of technology and Zoom. And I think, I don't know if John wants to touch on it. I know at some point very soon he's going to start hosting a podcast. He's going to have special guests on it. To be determined for sure, but I don't know if there's going to be an avenue for registering for those, John, or if it's just going to be kind of a Facebook Live thing, or how you know, do you have any details on that you want to share?
Yeah, Chris, I've also been trying to unmute myself for like probably 2 minutes now, and I've just been putting spaces in the chat box. So yeah, the podcast is going to be launching next week, recording it early next week, probably Monday or Tuesday. We're going to have a very special guest. Julie Sullivan is going to be on, and I don't want to give too much away, but you're going to want to tune in. Anyone that wants to be on, just reach out. I'll reach out to you. And we can do it via Zoom. We can record in person. I have podcast equipment that, I have from a past life. Facebook Live, we'll see what works, what sticks to the wall. But I'm very excited.
Do you want people to send you topic ideas, or what how much interaction do you want from our?
Yeah, that'd be great. Any kind of topic ideas that you'd like to see. I know I've put my email, I'll put my email in the general group chat here if it's not up already. Yeah, any kind of ideas you have, questions, I'd love to hear it, and I'd love to be able to address it.
Cool. Yeah, and the other thing to piggyback a little bit on what Gideon was talking about with the RPAC challenge that IR has, we also have kind of piggybacked on our community outreach program that we just completed. We fed over 300 healthcare workers at the four hospitals in King County, and to kind of piggyback on that for an RPAC fundraiser, we have had our business partners have put in. Was it over $3,000 to buy gift cards from local restaurants and pubs? So we are going to be selling raffle tickets and giving away hundreds of thousands of dollars of gift cards from local community outlets. So hopefully you guys will take a look at that. There's the flyer up there on the screen. Anybody that had a closing, I think I said this the other day, if you closed on a house or a property, you made a deal happen in the end of March, RPAC was a big part of that. So, I think that, we can't forget that it's a huge part of what we do and how we do it. So if you have the opportunity, please go online and buy some raffle tickets or candy bars, however you want to do it, and, support RPAC as much as you can. Missy, did I cover that, or is there something more?
Nope, you're good.
Okay. Back to you, Lisa. That's all I have.
Okay. And I think that's the end of our program. We do not have any other questions in the chat, not that I can see. If you do have one, go ahead and put it in there while I'm wrapping up. I'll check one more time before we leave. But I think everybody covered their topics beautifully. And like I said, you've dazzled your audiences. So I don't think that anybody has any other questions. But thank you, Gideon. Thank you, John, so much for tuning in with us. And I know you guys have busy schedules, but we really appreciate your time today. And for everybody that's watching or listening in, we'll be sending out a participation survey in the next day or so, so you can let us know what you thought of the webinar and give us, we're always looking for ways to improve. And we'll also be sending out the information that you received. We'll be posting a recording of the webinar, as well as any PowerPoint decks that you saw. We'll be posting those as well. So thank you so much. Enjoy your weekend and have a great rest of your Friday.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, guys.